This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele, a show that matches business mentees with exceptional mentors to provide the skills and knowledge to navigate the entrepreneurial journey. Beyond Mentorship is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Hello everyone and good evening to you. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm delighted to be once again sharing this space and time with you, the high listeners, as well as 91.9 listeners on this glorious Monday. I certainly hope everything has went well over the weekend. As we proceed, we know that the unemployment rate is quite high in this country, and therefore the fact that it is unacceptable to be that high, we do need from time to time initiatives such as these so that we're able to propel small businesses, to be at the center of the economy. When you look at countries such as the States, more and more people are beginning to have side hustle, which does give you an indication that if your salary can hardly afford to take you through the whole month. So it is quite important that we look at these kinds of initiative as no longer, as by the way, or luxury. It's something that has to happen throughout so that we're able to drive or alleviate high unemployment rate, especially among the youth. Moving along, let's pay homage to Michael McKenna, who has done exceptionally well as part of the Overdrive team. I thoroughly hope he has been able to navigate your sense of delight, particularly in his show. You are probably left slightly more enlightened. Slightly more enlightened as we proceed. Anyway, if you missed any of our show, not to worry, simply visit our website, which is www.hydro.fm. Look for Beyond Mentorship, download it, and share your views with us. Last week, I had quite an interesting conversation with Martin Kingston, who is executive chairperson at the Rothschild & Company. As expected, Martin did not disappoint. He gave us a very high-level and detailed approaches in which business in South Africa is actually helping government as to try and resolve some of the technical capacity issues to ensure that government is able to deliver on some of the mega projects that it has embarked on. Projects such as energy, definitely a big issue. Infrastructure is definitely a big issue. So, one of the issues that I sort of raised to Martin is that if there's been so many initiatives that government and business is actually doing, why is it that we're not hearing more of those particular issues? To his point, he acknowledged that communication, strategic communication, it's one of the weakest items which they need to look at, because that would obviously counter the negative energy that we're getting pretty much every day about corruption, maladministration, and so on and so forth. I sincerely believe that as we gravitate towards the election, we do need to hear more and more positive story. Talking of the positive story, it is something that is lined up. We're going to take a break, and when we come back from this ad, we'll then engage guests for tonight's conversation, which is ORT Jet. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
We've weathered the unexpected.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. You've just joined us. We've literally just started. I'm about to have I'm looking forward to a very interesting conversation with Helen Itzkin. I hope I pronounced Helen's name properly, from ORT Jet, as well as Wesley Pillay, as well, and last but not least, Lebogang Zulu. These are my guests tonight. They come from ORT Jet in South Africa. Without any waste of time, can I perhaps maybe get my guest on board? Helen, good evening and welcome to Beyond Mentorship.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear, Helen.
Thank you for inviting us. We're very happy to be here today, and we hope that we can give some input into helping as many businesses as possible to get on the right track. That's what the acronym for OURT, as we call it, on the right track. That's what we stand for.
Absolutely. And last but not least, I believe we're joined by Lebogang Zulu, who's also a founder of Zego. One of the beneficiaries for OURT. Is Lebogang part of us?
Yes, no, I'm here, man. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a pleasure to be here.
No, thank you very much, colleagues. Without any waste of time, let's get to it. Helen, this obviously is a very interesting initiative that is meant to address high unemployment rate in this country. We need more and more of ORT JET type of organization. Take us through the genesis of ORT before we get to some of the programming that you guys are busy with.
Okay. ORT JET is a division of ORT SA. ORT SA is an international NGO. We are active in 40 odd countries all over the world. The ORT JET division specifically takes care of small businesses. We've been around for nearly 20 years, and in that time period, we have helped over 2,500 businesses to be successful. What our model looks like is a business will approach us, we will invite them and induct them into the program. And what that involves is we will start a scorecard for them, assessing where they started, so that after a year, we can monitor their growth. The process runs like this. They apply to ORT JET through our website, which I'm happy to give to your producer afterwards. They then come into an induction. We tell them all about the program and what they can expect and what we expect from them. Thereafter, they sit with our panel. Our panel is made up of top business people with many years of experience, because that's what we believe is the key to success, learning from others who've done it before you. Thereafter, the panel will talk to the business and we'll assess where are the gaps. And once we identify the gaps, we're able to put that business either with a long-term mentor or what we call a consultant. Should the gap be in finance, it'll be a finance consultant. Should it be in marketing, it'll be a marketing mentor. They spend time with their mentor one-on-one, and that time is invaluable, absolutely invaluable. We catch up with them regularly. We will meet with the panel again after 3 months to assess where the business is at and if there's been measurable progress. We then look, do they need help elsewhere? They continue on the program. And over the year, we run boot camps. We've got 12 boot camps that cover marketing, strategy, finance, and many other topics that are imperative for a business to be successful. We also make sure that the businesses are registered, because what we learned during COVID is that businesses that are not compliant do not have access to help should they need it. And after the year, we monitor them, and we hope that they stay on the program continuously as our content continuously changes.
Thank you.
And so a combination of mentorship, training, and networking opportunities is what we believe leads to successful businesses.
Thank you very much for that insight, which is quite useful. It obviously 20 years in operation does suggest that the kind of program that you put forward have substance. You've indicated to us that you first and foremost, you've been approached by individuals such as like myself, will approach you on the basis of whether I qualify. If I qualify, you'll then induct me. Part of the induction will obviously, I'll be subjected to a panelist. The team of experts will tear me apart on my business proposal, I would imagine. On the basis of them being satisfied, they'll say, okay, Nimrod, these are your gaps in finance, in strategy, perhaps maybe in marketing. Then they will allocate a mentor to address those specific gaps. Am I correct to wrap up or to sum up your programming based on what you just said?
Correct. ORT JET has over 300 mentors on our program, all of them offering their time And all they want is to see the success of the people that they help.
So what does it take to become a mentor? Because I'm being deliberate on this issue, Helen. We need as many people.
So a mentor has to have business experience. They have to be able to have been and walked down that road before. Because, you know, it's all very well to sit and do your MBA or sit in business school. But the people that have the true experience are those that have done it before. And they can guide you because they can see the pitfalls. So we're looking in our mentorship from our mentors, people who have experience and who are able to put that experience forward to others. I mean, I have to say that there are a lot of people that are in the business world, but not everybody has the gift of being able to give it over.
Absolutely, because you could have a very good person who's got a good understanding of the textbook, but that person cannot impart the knowledge to the next person, because that also becomes a problem. And I do understand that when you're looking for people who've got scars, people who have been in the trenches, because that's a real experience which they are able to impart to a would-be mentee. If I'm correct.
Correct.
So one of the issues that you've raised, which is important, Helen, and has to do with the panel. So take us through, if a person has approached OR to JET, and take us through the panel. What happens? This person is there.
So our panel meets with our businesses twice a week. We meet with our new businesses, and then in that process, they will have already gone through the scorecard of the business. So they'll have an understanding of what the business does, and then they will interrogate all the areas of the business, because somebody will come to us and in their application form, they'll say, oh, well, I need somebody to help me with marketing. But when we interrogate it, we often find that that's something that they may need down the line. The basics are not in place. Sometimes it's as simple as, are you costing your product correctly? Are you costing in the factors that will affect your profits? We often have people who are coming in who are running their business account and their personal account from one bank account. So they're never really sure how much they're making. So compliance is very important, and understanding how to run a business, even if it's small. You know, some people need to be taught the basics in order to grow. And we have businesses that are one-man shows. We have freelancers coming to us. And we have businesses like Lebo, who we'll meet just now, who will take you through how he's grown. And he's got quite a nice big business today.
That's a fascinating story indeed. On that note, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. Once you come back, we'll just put Lebo on that hot seat so that he share the wisdom that he has accumulated, so that more and more others can follow suit. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. I'm joined by Helen Itzkin, who is an HOD at ORT JET, which is a division of ORT South Africa. Before we entered the break, she was giving us an overview of the company's business model around an induction, a panelists that interrogate your proposal to a point where they're able to make a determination on where your gaps are. But before we bring in Lebohang here, Helen, one of the important points that you raised is that you see you have all sorts of business group, like one-man show, you have conglomerates, or you have business that already is successful. Can anybody approach you or with an idea? Some people don't necessarily have a business that has already been established, but may have an idea. What sort of filtering process do you do?
So the process would be similar. We do have a special panel that we put together that deal with people who have business ideas. In fact, last week, Thursday, we ran a course with Amanda Blankfield-Kossoff. She interrogates, and she looks at business plans, and she works together with our businesses to interrogate, is this a business that could work or not? So we do most certainly offer that to people who have business ideas, and we encourage people with ideas to come to us.
That's very useful indeed, because some people may not necessarily have had the established business, but they may be contemplating to start their own business, which means when they come to ORT JET, they will definitely be coming to the right place. As we proceed, let's bring in Lebogang. Lebogang, you know, 2 seconds. How did you end up at ORT JET?
It was just a reference actually from a friend.
Okay.
Who had said I should check it out. I may be able to get some assistance. I think initially I came in with the intention I was trying to raise some capital, and I'd gone in with, I think primarily with that intention initially, but it's turned out to be obviously a bit different in that the main thing that's actually come out is more mentorship than anything else.
So how long have you been with the entity?
Well, my entity or Ought?
No, with Ought.
Okay, Ought, I came, was 2022, yeah. I was part of the cohort in 22, and the good thing about Ought, I think, is that when you come in as part of the, I guess, group of entrepreneurs, it becomes up to you what you want to make out of it after, because it's an annual thing, and obviously there's new groups that come in every year. And I guess I just maybe saw the value within the organization, and I enjoyed the culture and the people there. And I kind of just decided to stick around. And, you got to obviously put yourself in front of people's faces, people to remember you. And yeah, and I think from there, it's just, I guess, resulted in me, always being around Ought from then.
Interesting. So what sort of line of business are you in at Ought, or the kind of business that Ought is helping you to, you know, to expand?
Okay, so I'm in the tech space. I come from a logistics background. I used to own my own trucking business. I was doing break bulk. So it was mostly your large stuff on site tippers. So this would have been coal, chrome, manganese, agri produce. And I moved into tech basically with the intention initially developing a platform connecting guys with trucks, with transport, with shippers who wanted cargo to move. And that's how Zigu came about. So that's the business I had started. Actually, when I came to Ought, it was very early days of me starting Zigu. I started it, the development the previous year in 2021, towards the end of the year 2021, we'd really started the development. And I guess that's where the mentorship, I think, with Ought played a very big role, because I'm a career entrepreneur. I've always been in entrepreneurship. So that starting point will never be a problem for me. But I was doing something very new. I didn't know anything about tech going into it. So I think one of the reasons why I felt I needed mentorship a lot was because I was doing something completely new that I'd never done. And it was always going to be good for me to listen and get advice from other people.
I like that statement that you felt that you needed to be mentored for, obviously, to the same level of a better way, you went behind your ears because you didn't know much. I want to bring Helen here, because the point that you've just made, it's all about attitude, which is very important when you are being inducted, when you have been brought into a particular space. Your attitude will determine your altitude, it's said. Helen obviously has gone through,
attitude is 90% of getting you to where you want to be. Mm. You know, an entrepreneur, place before entrepreneurs is very lonely. You're often by yourself. You often fail. You have to pick yourself up. You have to go back and you have to fight another day. Often entrepreneurs are doing absolutely everything in the business. So it's overwhelming. They have very long days. They often have no help when they first start out. But then again, if we look at Cousinomics and we look at the economy, that's happening within the townships and the small businesses, and the amount of money that moves through those small businesses, one-man shows in the townships, it's incredible. It's a whole sub-economy working with small businesses who are thriving, and they are doing 90% of the time the work themselves, be it the hairdresser, be it the cell phone shop, be it the spaza, be it the amaroom. People are working, and you know, it's all about having a good attitude, knowing what you want, not being lazy, and being able to find the resources and the grit within yourself to make it happen. And that's why AutoJet is an important place for entrepreneurs to come to, because we offer a place where they have somebody to talk to, somebody to run ideas off. A mentor will never do the job for you, but he will most certainly help you solve the problems that you're having, and you won't feel alone.
Two things that you've raised that are quite important. One is the economy or sub-economy when looking at township economy, and the other one is the role of the mentor. That this is an individual who's going to help you navigate turbulences, but will not be the captain. Will be the captain of your ship. But on an issue of township economy, how much of ORTSA is supporting township businesses to a point where they are at the same level, if not above, that of Lebogang Zulu?
To answer that question, I'm not sure what percentage we're supporting, but if there are people listening, we welcome them to go to our website and to join AutoJet. What I do have to tell you is we do have another division, which is our skills development department, which deals with smaller businesses. And I'm sure that Wesley would be able to talk to that area more clearly than I would. Wes, I don't know if you'd like to jump in here.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, firstly, for having us. I think this is a really amazing opportunity for us to engage with you and to the listeners out there. And I hope that, you know, the information that we're able to impart would make one of your listeners, or maybe some of the listeners that are listening in today, take that giant leap, that giant step towards entrepreneurship, you know, to create a better economy for us and for South Africa. I think, you know, speaking to our smaller businesses that we work with within our skills and enterprise development department, we firstly need to look at you know, South African economy as a whole. And I think one of the most important elements that we are trying to resolve in South Africa is to reduce the balance, or create a better balance, between employers and employment opportunities. Most of the time, especially when you look at businesses that are, you know, coming from previously disadvantaged areas, businesses where, you know, they're coming from humble beginnings, a large percentage of these businesses actually start their business purely based on the fact that they cannot actually find employment. And going into a business is generally something that they choose to do because they cannot find a job. You know, when we look back at our, you know, our education system, there's very little in our education system that teaches us how to go about starting our own business or starting our own company. This is some of the things that we only ever learn in tertiary education, should we choose to pursue it, or potentially it's something that we learn along the way as one of life's lessons. And most people who end up starting a businesses understand the concept of the trade. They have a skill, they have a service or a product that they would like to sell or provide in exchange for receiving an income. And this is actually where the huge opportunity is within our South African society, is the fact that if you look at AutoSA, AutoJet, and the combination of skills that we provide, is we take care of the operational, or we provide the training and skills development around the operational entities of running a business. So we have a program that we currently run within the Skills and Enterprise Development program department. And this program allows businesses to join for a period of 12 months. Lebo was one of the businesses that joined our program in 2022. before moving on to AutJet in 2023. And in this program, we teach businesses about things like corporate image, corporate identity, how to market and position yourself from a sales perspective, how to manage basic financial managements of your accounts. You know, Helene touched on the fact that some businesses will even use their business account as a personal account and not separate the two. A large percentage of other entrepreneurs won't take a salary, even though they own and run the business. They don't take a salary, but consider the profits of whatever the business has made at the end of its monthly transactions to be considered their income. And, you know, we try to provide these skills. We try to provide opportunities for businesses to learn about the operational elements of running a business in the hopes that businesses can scale up, businesses can access new markets, businesses can increase their compliance so that they can start negotiating and sitting at bigger tables where better opportunities for them may arise. And ultimately, this is to create sustainability, self-sustainability for their businesses. But most importantly, we are hoping that this opportunity for scale-up will require these businesses to onboard new employees, creating employment opportunities for all the unemployed South Africans out there.
No, thank you very much for that useful insight, which I certainly feel is making a huge difference to a listener who is considering to become an entrepreneur. I mean, all the issues around, well, attitude to being there, being the biggest elephant in the room, and as you know, Helen has pointed out, and you don't have to be lazy. It's a very lonely road out there. But coming back to the point raised by yourself, Wesley, which are quite important, that you are taking over operations of this entity for a period of 12 months, right? And you, in that particular period of 12 months, you almost like teach them to, you know, to run the entity like business. Imaging, corporate imaging, positioning, how to market, your financial models. These are very practical things that any business person will require, because they would not have had the opportunity to master these. So I would imagine all these bits and pieces that you made reference to are being done through the mentor. Am I correct?
So, great question. Yeah, great question. So with AutJet, it's very much through the mentor, but with the enterprise skills and enterprise program, it's done through multiple mediums of support structures that we have in place. I think AutSA and, you know, obviously with Helene and AutJet, we really truly work really well with each other, utilizing each other's strengths, you know, where we may fall short with our weaknesses. Helene mentioned we have so many different mentors that can step in and assist with so many different elements. But in addition to that, I think it's more about creating a direction of focus. What we've learned over the last, you know, couple of years that we've been running this enterprise program is that a lot of entrepreneurs are actually doing multiple things at the same time. So if you speak to, you know, a startup entrepreneur, they have a business, but then they're also doing five or six other things on the side, trying to bring in an income. And when we try to speak to them about, you know, the operation of their business, most of the time they're trying to slowly increase the revenue of all these different revenue streams simultaneously, which can become very, very difficult for a business. So we have a term that we like to use at the office. We call it low-hanging fruit. And that speaks back to the benchmark of the business, the core aspect of what the business was created to do. We often try to open, you know, the mindset of our entrepreneurs to identify what problem are you solving in the community, in the country, and you know, in South Africa. Because when you are able to solve a problem, people will pay you for your solution. It's that simple. Myself and Lebo had a bit of a catch-up session recently, and he shared some knowledge with me that I would like to share. Lebo, is that okay? Can I share the comment you gave me from the book?
No problem.
So Lebo shared this really amazing comment that resonated with me this week. And he said, if a doctor cures a headache, you'll remember him for a moment. But if a doctor cures cancer, you'll remember him for a lifetime. And that is the kind of think big energy that Ort is trying to portray to our entrepreneurs, is that, you know, even though they might be a small, medium, or micro enterprise, their thought process, their unique quality, their unique value proposition could potentially become a solution in South Africa that could change the face of the way we see a specific industry or service. And sometimes it's all just about trying to allocate them towards that focus, for them to focus on that one element. Because when you look on social media and you look on websites and YouTube and business pages, businesses are being force-fed information from different directions, and they're, you know, without understanding, people will think, okay, I'll do this, or I'll do that, and I'll do this. And when it doesn't work, they start to think that, you know, maybe the system might be broken, or maybe it might not be working for them. But within Ort, what we do, and I think Ort Jet also does this really, really well, is before just assisting a business or pairing them with a mentor, we take a deep dive and deconstruct their business from the outside in to identify where are the gaps in this business and what direction does this business require in order for us to truly make a difference. And I think that's something that we at Ort SA do well, and that's because we are very invested in making the difference that we are trying to achieve.
Thank you very much for that insight, Wesley. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. But when you come back, I want us to explore a little bit more on your notion of deep dive in terms of identifying those critical issues. The other issues that I want us to get our teeth around is access to market. Because we all know that market is one barrier. Most businesses crumble when it comes to access market. So based on your input, based on your history, I'm sure you've been able to navigate the challenges that are associated with the market. Craig, we can take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back to Beyond Mentorship. We're having interesting conversation through the prism, if you like, of Ort Jet. Their motto is making people employable and creating employment opportunities. And so far, the kind of issues that they brought forward certainly gives meaning to that particular motto. Before we enter that break, you got a very interesting insight from Wesley, as well as Helen. The issue that I raised has to do with sorting or supporting small businessmen accessing the market, because you may have the product. Sometimes getting your product to shelves is one of your biggest challenges. How are you helping the entrepreneurs that are in your fold to access market?
So what we do try and do is we try and open doors. And how we open doors is by networking. So we find it very important that the businesses attend the networking sessions that we run so that they can meet other people who are possibly able to help them. There is also, you know, the world has changed, and bricks and mortar are not the only way to sell product. There is a massive, massive growing. One knows this from Takealot and Amazon, that online shopping is probably, overtaking bricks and mortar. Bricks and mortar now has to become an experience. So if you've got a shop in a shopping center, people come there not just to buy your product, because they can probably buy it easier online. They want an experience from you. So the retail world is changing. And access to market and helping people get their products onto shelves is, again, it's understanding the market, it's understanding where you want to be, and also leveraging your contacts and your network to get there.
I would imagine most of your entrepreneurs, you also need to jack them up into operating at a tech level, because it's not every single entrepreneur that you're helping who's tech savvy, others will probably be caught up in the brick and mortar space, and whereas the world has moved, how are you helping, you know, those that are caught up in the past to try and leapfrog and take advantage of online shopping as well?
So we do have mentors that are extremely savvy in this area, and we would pair them with mentors to help them build their online stores and guide them about how to go about online sales. So it would be through mentorship.
Absolutely. That sounds quite interesting indeed. The other bigger challenge that every single entrepreneur, I'm sure Lebogang Zulu here would attest to it, is access to funding. And there's one argument that says if the product is solid, funding will follow. And others are saying we've got a solid product, but there's no funding. What has been your experience, and how do you help entrepreneurs to navigate those challenges?
So I think Wesley and myself have, you know, different people that we've dealt with for this. We do have people that we can introduce our businesses to, but then again, it has to be a business that is fundable. And a lot of the businesses that come in initially need to build up to be able to be fundable businesses. Wes, I don't know how you feel about that.
No, 100%. Helene hits the nail on the head. So I'll probably respond in two parts, Doctor, because you spoke a little bit just now about supply chains and funding, and they sort of almost speak to one another. But I'll get to the supply chain part in just a second. I'll just maybe just chat on the funding. I think, when you look at businesses who sometimes come to programs such as, the one that Ought SA and Ought Jet offer, majority of the time they come to it with a level of hoping that it will result in some form of financial benefit for their business. I think even Lebo, when he started speaking, he mentioned that in the beginning it was about finding that financial assistance, and there was an opportunity with Orton and he joined with that. Where we come in specifically is we do have multiple partners that we engage with that can provide assistance with regards to funding. But as much as the business needs to be fundable, the business also needs to be fund ready. And I think this is something that a lot of people who run businesses or who are entrepreneurs need to maybe do self-reflection upon requesting for funding. So I'll give you a hypothetical scenario. If a business comes to us and they say to us, we ask, how can we help you? What does your business need? And the first thing they'll say to us is, we need money. Okay. How much do you need? Oh, I need R1 million. Okay. What do you need the funding for? Start there. What do you need the funding for? Because this is a question that many businesses need to take time to answer. Because when you want funding, you need to be fund ready. Are you going to be able to pay back the funding you're asking for if you're not being given a grant, if you're taking a fund loan or something to that effect? Are you is your business positioned in a manner where explain what you'll be utilizing the funding for? Will us providing funding to you or providing fundable options to you result in potentially creating employment opportunities? And all sorts of these questions are the type of things that businesses need to have, already answered and prepared prior to being in a position to ask for funding. Because multiple businesses have come to us and required funding, and we look at their business model, deconstruct it, as I mentioned previously, and we identify that in actual fact, if we just spent 12 months working on their day-to-day cash flow, they would not actually need finance because they would be able to increase their daily income to subsequently provide the funding that they required in the first place for whatever it is that they wanted to do. So I think, you know, there's that mentality of instant gratification versus longevity, and you know, with business, it is something that takes time to grow, and the mentality of trying to reach the finish line on day one is not very realistic. And we try to provide businesses with scale up and growth opportunities so that by the end of our program, if they still do want funding opportunities, they are much better positioned to go out and apply for funding or engage with one of our partners, or you know, like Helene mentioned, we do have partners that we engage with that could potentially look at them, and they'd be in a much better position at that stage to get funding versus when they first come in.
Basically what you said to us, the business must be ready and the business owner must be ready. In some instances, the business owner is not ready because he does not know the product that well. The person is not able to articulate some of the questions that ordinarily would have been part of the business plan. So it is quite important that a person who comes through to you asking for funding would have already answered some of those questions, you know, without referring to the book. So this is what I'm picking up from you, which makes it very important that any would-be entrepreneur needs to master the business plan. When you're being asked questions about your funding model, you're able to explain it. When you've been asking questions about your sales strategy, but obviously these things can be successfully done with the support of a mentor, because we all know that without a big brother or bigger sister out there, half of these businesses will not succeed.
Correct. Yes. So again, 100% right. I wanted to touch on this earlier on because you did speak about, you know, access to markets. And I think, you know, depending on who's listening right now, whether you are an entrepreneur or potentially maybe you are a corporate that has, let's say, a supply chain. I don't know how many people actually know this, but small, medium, and micro enterprise organizations in South Africa make up 34% of the South African economy each year. That is a lot of money. And one of the ways in which they go about gaining access to getting a small piece of this economy within their within their business is by finding opportunities to gain accesses to specific supply chains. Now, this is something that Ort has actually really refined, and something that I personally believe we've found a way to almost perfect our program when it comes to assisting businesses and positioning businesses in the best possible stance to access supply chains. Because once you are a part of a supply chain or multiple supply chains, and if your business has met specific compliances and have ticked certain boxes specifically with the larger organizations, these businesses then get access to these SMMEs get access to potentially business from very, very, very large organizations, which in turn provides the cash flow needed to scale up, to grow profit, to increase employment opportunities. So funding is not necessarily always the right direction, whereas there are other opportunities that you can go about to gain this kind of income and this kind of cash flow, which could potentially result in you not having to spend any money paying it back.
Absolutely.
We have an amazing supply chain program that we offer at Ort. It's actually called the Enterprise Supplier Development
Program.
Wesley,
I want to come back to that supply chain that you're talking, because I think it's a very important point. Let's do it immediately after this break.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back to Beyond Mentorship as we gravitate towards the end of the show. I'm joined by Helen Eskin, who is an HOD at OrtJet, which is a division of OrtSA. I'm also joined by Wesley Pillay, who is an OrtSA skills and development person. And last but not least, we are joined by Lebogang Zulu, who is the founder of Ziggo, who Zig is one of the beneficiaries of NSA program. As we're wrapping up, I want to bring in Wesley around the accessing the supply chain, because that is a unique value proposition for you. Some companies who are doing the same work that you do may not necessarily have sharpened or mastered the art of access to supply chain. Take us through that, and yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. So you know, we're talking about supply chains, and I think it's really important to realize that, you know, a lot of business want access to this type of opportunities where potentially a large base of income may sit for many, many businesses. But in order to access these supply chains, most of these businesses would need to meet criteria set from some of the larger organizations. If we had to hypothetically say that there was an organization who had a supply chain filled with businesses that they could outsource work to, one of the main factors is for these businesses to meet a minimum compliance criteria. Things like making sure that your business's standard operating processes are in place. Things like making sure that your employees have contracts. I mean, think about the amount of entrepreneurs right now who have people working for them. And these people who work for them do not have documentation to say that they are employed at a specific company. Things like making sure that there are payroll solutions put in place so that these employees receive their salaries. Making sure that businesses have COIDA certificates of understanding, memorandum of understanding, meeting health and safety requirements, and making sure that, you know, you have that signed off. Making sure that your CIPC documents are not expired, your triple BEE documents are up to date. Making sure that your SARS documents, your PIN has not expired, your VAT is up to date. These are small little elements that most businesses would actually overlook in their pursuit for running an organization, but are extensively required in order for these companies to gain growth, to gain access to market, and to sit at big tables where access opportunities for supply chain and supplier development is around. As mentioned before, Doc, we have a supplier enterprise supplier development program currently at AutSA. It's a newly developed program, and it's what I love about it is it's a program that we've designed via looking at all of our other programs that we have at Ort, identifying each and every gap that we could identify within those programs, and designing a program which we think now caters towards all those gaps, fills all of them in, and is genuinely going to create businesses with an amazing opportunity to become supplier ready to enter any supply chain that their industry is directed towards.
Absolutely.
If I could close quickly with this, is that there's even businesses currently, or corporations right now, that have businesses in their supply chain, and these businesses are currently not getting work because they are not
compliant,
the preferred supplier of choice.
Absolutely.
And we can sort of assist with that as well. So very well-rounded program offerings from AutSA and AutJet across the board.
Thank you very much for a well-articulated position of your offering. Helen, as we gravitate towards the end of the show, your parting shot on the kind of work that you were doing and what to look for.
Sorry, I didn't get that. If you wouldn't mind repeating the question.
As we're parting, what would be your highlight and what to look for in future? Okay. Because so this conversation, I get a sense that we're going to have it more and more with you.
Okay. So I would say businesses, work your networks. Okay. Work with the people that you know can give you the connections that you need to be able to grow. Don't ever give up. Use your grit. And should you want to contact us, I'm sure that the producer of the show will guide you towards AutJet. What I also wanted to say is any corporates that are listening in, your triple BEE money can be well spent at AutSA and AutJet. to support the beneficiaries that we put through our program. I also need to let everybody know that AutJet accepts anybody. AutJet was started by the Jewish community to support Jewish businesses. We are all inclusive. And we want businesses to succeed, and everybody is welcome. You're able to get to us at our website, autjet.org.za, or call us. We'd be happy to hear from you.
Thank you very much, Aline, for that insight. Who else do we need? Lebogang, your parting shot, literally 30 seconds.
Yeah, no, all I'll say is, Wesley covered pretty much everything, but very important thing for entrepreneurs listening to remember is that sometimes mentorship is not necessarily money. You know, it's not the guy's going to give you a check and solve all your problems, but look at it more as a second brain, someone who you're not paying to thoroughly look into your business and help you see all the stuff that you're not seeing. And I think that's where it's been quite helpful.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. Unfortunately, we're going to have a little bit here. We are running out of time. Thank you very much for your inputs, which I certainly believe they have nuanced the thinking of a would-be entrepreneur who is listening, and I'm sure we will have more and more people coming to make some inquiries on how they can partner with you, for you have some interesting things that could shift the needle a little bit more in terms of creating opportunities for youth that are seeking to become, you know, trailblazers. Yeah. Anyway, we're gonna have to leave it here, and I see Craigie is about to kill me. It has been absolute pleasure. Like I said, it doesn't harm to be polite. Be kind, and shalom.